first letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. And this is Paul's letter to his young friend. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that, if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. For he appeared in a body, Jesus appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached amongst the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. There we go. So I just want to look at these verses for a moment or two. This is some artwork from the catacomb of Saint Priscilla. We think that Saint Priscilla was a fairly well-off Christian in the northern part of Rome in the early days of the Christian church. And at the time, Christians were not constantly persecuted, but were certainly not trusted. And every now and again, a persecution would break out. And so Christians didn't like to have their graves openly in perhaps the Roman graveyards. Christians would seek to be buried in private catacombs if they could. And so Saint Priscilla, when she passed away, we don't know whether it was before she died or afterwards, but she allowed the ground under her house to be dug out. And so one of the catacombs is that of Saint Priscilla. And you may have seen those pictures. It's basically, you get these shelves. You're going through the tunnels and there are shelves. And the bodies of Christians would be placed in their shrouds on these shelves, basically, where they could be together with other believers. So this artwork, it isn't an artwork of Saint Priscilla herself. It's actually an artwork, so it's probably painted around 250 AD. And I think it's amazing that these catacombs are caves. So they would have been painted only with the light of a candle. To be able to paint such detail, I mean, goodness knows what you'd get from me. If I was trying to paint in candlelight, it wouldn't be as good as this. But the interesting thing is that this fresco, this painted straight onto the wall picture, depicts this unknown, prominent Christian woman. And actually, it picks out the important moments of her life. So actually, you can see left-hand side, there's somebody sitting down, and he's got a beard. We think that was the bishop. And the woman and her husband are there, and that's the day of their marriage. Here on the other side, we have the woman having a child. So there she is as wife and as mother. And then in the middle, we think, not everybody agrees on this, but we think she was a prominent Christian leader, and she was either leading a service or preaching in the early church. And I just think it's so interesting that a few years later on, when the men got organized, we stopped the women doing this sort of thing, and we put our foot down with a firm hand. But in the early church, women were prominent in the life of the church. And I just love this picture. It's recently been cleaned up. So when we saw it years ago, it was just so difficult to tell what was going on. But lots of scholars look at the particular clothing the woman has on in the middle, and they clearly feel They were vestments. They were special clothes that this woman wore to lead worship and or to preach. Here's another of the frescoes from the catacombs. And if you look carefully, these, and I think it's all guys, as far as we can tell, they're singing. And this morning's service, I've used the theme of our song for Jesus. You'll know that through this this Advent period, we've been thinking about the different songs. Mary's song, Zechariah's song, the angel's song. Next Sunday will be Simeon's song. But this day, today, we're thinking of our own song. And because we think that, the words that I read, particularly that last verse from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we think this is a well-known early church hymn. It was so well-known that Paul could quote it to his young friend Timothy, and it would have been well-known, a bit like the carols that we sing. You know, I could quote from them and you'd know what I was talking about. So these words, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He, that is Jesus, appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached to the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. And I just want to pick up one word from that, and the word is mystery. For us, a mystery is something that we don't understand. A mystery is something that is hidden from us, and we have no idea what it's about. But actually, mystery within particularly Greek thought, when Paul was writing these words, doesn't mean something that no one knows. Rather, the word mystery means it is one of the secret things that God has chosen to reveal. So a mystery in this sense is something that was hidden, but now is made plain. And so it is Jesus here, Paul is saying, Jesus is the one who has made plain the mysteries of God. So I'm going to just want to think about with you three mysteries that we have, I think, that are answered for us in this passage that I just read to you. The first mystery, is there a God? And Paul's response as he reads the words from this hymn, he, Jesus, appeared in a body and was vindicated by the Spirit. You know, the vast God who is so awesome and so different to us as human beings, how could we ever hope and expect to know that God who created the universe? Why would we, as lowly, unimportant, seemingly, human beings, how could we hope to get to know this God? Well, it would be impossible for us to do so, for us to reach that God. The existence of the unreachable God of the universe, of course, can never be proved. Anybody who says to you that it can be proven that God exists, well, I don't accept that, because that's the nature of what we call faith. Faith is believing in something that we know to be true in our hearts, but actually cannot be proven in a scientific or a means that can be verified in fact or in science. It is a choice that we make to have faith. But God took an extraordinary step to reveal himself as a human being. So So the shepherds rushing into Bethlehem after the angels had given them this amazing story, they discovered not merely that a baby had been born, and to be honest, that wouldn't have been that unusual, but actually the description they received, this child would be wrapped in swaddling clothes and would be laid in the trough that the animals ate out of. This child was God who had appeared in a human body. In the vulnerability of a little child. And I think it's just amazing that God should choose to come in this tiny child that was so dependent on his mother Mary and on Joseph. And we know from the rest of the story that those early years of Jesus' life were not easy. King Herod tried to kill him. They had to run to Egypt for safety. But God chose to have himself come in this body of a little baby. And throughout his life, Jesus was vindicated. And that word vindicated means he was proved to be who he claimed to be. You know, the claims that Jesus makes about himself, you can either say he was God or he was a deluded lunatic. You can't have both. I and the Father are one, said Jesus. That is either true or this is the most deluded human being. But we believe that Jesus proved himself to be who he claimed to be. Mystery number two, can we know God? Can we know God? He was seen by the angels and he was preached to the nations, says Paul in this song. This supernatural birth was marked by extraordinary happenings, such as an angelic proclamation. And, I don't know whether we've had any angelic proclamations more recently, but this was unusual. No wonder the shepherds were so scared when they saw what had happened. Now, our route to faith may be less supernatural, although I mustn't make assumptions. Perhaps there are aspects of our Christian journey where we would say there have been miracles that I have seen. There have been things that I can't explain that have happened. You will remember a few months ago I told you about my nephew, Aaron, who had this massive cardiac arrest. And there was we were told medically there was a less than 1% chance that he would make a full recovery. But partly because of his partner's CPR, but I also believe by the work of God in their lives that he has made a full recovery and is, I know, enjoying a wonderful Christmas with his family. You know, it's not until you've almost lost something that you really know what you've got. And so Aaron and Romana are celebrating. So our route of faith may be less supernatural, but the shepherd's good news has filtered down to us. So the shepherds ran into Bethlehem, saw the baby, and then they basically rampaged round town saying, "You won't believe what I've just seen." And the fact was the news was given to me, a shepherd. I'm not even worthy of going into the local synagogue, because their job as shepherds meant that they were out and they weren't able to fulfill the Jewish law about worship. But hey, God has chosen to send his angels to us, shepherds. And that message that they told filters down through the centuries, down to us here in Croydon at the end of 2025. We are recipients of the same message. Thirdly, what's life for? The song says he was believed on in the world and was taken up in glory. The shepherds left the stable profoundly changed. Of course, we never hear about any of these shepherds again, but can't you just imagine that when they are old men, they're still telling the same stories? I'll never forget that day when the angels appeared to us on that hillside and gave us a message that was especially for the poorest people in our world. That message of God's good news. The shepherds were profoundly changed. And I think, what is life for? The answer to that is, it is to live for and seek God's glory. As it says there, Jesus was taken up into glory, and we are called to live for God's glory. To aim to live in a way that is in anticipation of joining him in his glory one day. The shepherds were profoundly changed. How has our faith in Jesus changed us? In what ways are we different people because of that? For many of us, we've got to do quite a bit of work to get back to what we were like before we met Jesus. For some of us, it may be much more recent. But perhaps we can reflect on changed, altered attitudes. Perhaps we can reflect on changed priorities. Ambition, getting on in life, is no longer the first thing, but rather we want to do it in such a way that we can still bring glory to God. What about an eternal perspective rather than an earthly one? I think that's what this passage is saying, that the shepherds were transformed. They've discovered they were part of a story much bigger than themselves. And each one of us can be part of that story that is much bigger than us. That actually, the message that the angels brought to those shepherds is a message for us as well. So this Christmas morning, we thank God that we have heard the message. Amen.